know Mr. Kundras, and you've dealt with him. Tell us a little bit about your relationship. Well, not your relationship. I don't want all those details. But tell us what you know.
Well, let's look at the public face, and I would take a look at the wonderful public face that DC has at their website, some of the things he's done there, because I think that offers tremendous and some very exciting initiatives and opportunities for the federal government. But it's going to be a big change for the federal government. So let's talk about a couple things and in that regard. And one is transparency of information. Vivek's taken an awful lot of information and made it available over the web. Now, part of that is just basic transparency in government, data, statistics, and so forth that are being made available much fresher, much sooner than the way we used to do it in government. You know, the federal government does that as well, but it takes months to collect that data, and then a year later it gets published and put up on the web.
Right.
I think what Vivek's done is made that very fresh, and you think about the implications of that for economic data and the changes in our economy. If people in industry, government, at all levels of government can get access to really fresh data, then I think we'd see a lot better policy analysis. So I think that's one of the things. Second thing he's done is, I think, one of the most innovative efforts I've seen in IT acquisition. Now, this may be more threatening to the vendor community than to the government employees. Vivek went out and asked for people to take the data and come up with mashups and web services and bring back an idea to the city government. And the best idea, the best offering, would win a $50,000 award. And I believe he got somewhere on the order of several dozen web services.
46, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, applications, all which had value. And, of course, the best one, which did get the $50,000 award. Well, you can imagine 46 IT projects in the federal government cost a heck of a lot more than $50,000.
Yeah.
So the ability to use some of these innovative Web 2.0 approaches to both address this issue of increased transparency as well as increased functionality at relatively low cost to the taxpayer, I think is tremendously innovative.
But you've been there and you've done this, and you know how difficult it is. It in a way, it's easy to say, okay, I'm going to make all data public and I'm going to put it out there. But then you get into sort of very thorny issues about architecture and metadata and things that make people who don't just look at results, it makes all their eyes roll into the back of their head. How difficult will this to be to actually carry out?
At the federal level, the thing I found, which I know Vivek's going to find, or whoever officially is appointed that position, is that the federal government doesn't have limitations as much as people think on what they put on the web. I know when I first came into the job, this was the spring, late spring of 2001.
The early days of the web.
That's right.
Web 2.0 was merely a glint in our eye.
It was. And, you know, people said, we got to get the federal government on the web. Well, there were already 22,000 websites. There were already 32 million web pages available and documents and so forth available on the web. So it wasn't a question of, is the stuff on the web? It's how well is it organized and presented. Now, the other aspect of that, though, is we still in the government for years, and certainly all the way up to today, buy IT in the client-server approach. So there's very little money going into the web-type approaches that you need for transparency. And I think that's going to be a very difficult job. I think it's going to be, at the same time, an exciting job.
Let's talk a bit about some of the other challenges he's going to be facing, because as you and Chris both alluded to, there are laws that he's going to have to take care of, and there are rules that you have to follow. And I wonder, is it that he is going to have to more conform to what federal government will allow, or is federal government going to have to shift to catch up with what can be done in this position?
That power, that job is a very powerful job if certain things fall into place. And I believe there are three things that have to occur. Number one, he'll have to have the ear and the support of the president. You're basically reporting to the deputy director for management, but for all practical purposes, you're really reporting to the head of OMB and then from there to the president. You have to get to that level of support. And as I found, any time I needed to get the message out to deputy secretaries in mass or to other people, we put forward a memo. We worked directly with the secretariat of the cabinet, and we got the word out to very powerful people in the agencies who oftentimes are not trying to resist change. They're trying to do what they believe is best for their agencies. The problem that he's got to grapple with and why he needs the president's support is that the agencies are doing missions which were built during the days of a hierarchical organization structure, and you can't maintain the hierarchy and the collaboration of today's environment, Web 2.0. So that's the number one thing. He's got to get the support of the president. I've got a couple other things, too, that he'll need.
Well, and I want to ask you just one other question before, and then we'll let you go, because I know you're at a meeting and were nice enough to give us a call. But we've all been talking about this almost the CTO, and what will the CTO be? And all of a sudden, that he's taking this job, it almost becomes a little unclear about what the CTO will be. Will there be a CTO, or is Vivek just going to be the CTO? Do you have any sense as to is there still a role for the CTO?
To be effective, the CTO needs three things, and Vivek has all three of those, or whoever it is. You know, we don't know, it's not official, but you have those three things in that administrator role. Number one is the ear of the president, I'm going to assume. Number two is you have to have power, and that eGov administrator role has controls and authority with respect to the budget of the programs. The only way you get that authority to be operational is in OMB.
And links to policy as well. So you have both the policy and the powers of the purse.
That's right. Although I'll claim the power of the purse is more important in the
right.
Government.
Absolutely.
And then the final thing you need is a team. The staff, the ability to build team. And you have that with the staff in OMB. You also have that with the CIO console and the team that's built around that, the relationship and the team at GSA. So that's what makes that job powerful if used correctly.